line up. Micah 7, of course, we've been walking through the minor prophets chronologically as they were given. We'll be in the book of Nahum here in 2 weeks. I think we'll finish Micah next week. And as we've seen in the beginning part, God warning them about the coming judgment. And here in the end of the book, exhorting them to repent and come back to the Lord before it's too late. And the judgment, of course, he's warning them about is primarily the Babylonian captivity, which chronologically speaking is getting closer and closer as we walk through the minor prophets. So tonight we'll look at chapter 7, verses 1 to 13. So woe is me, for I am as when they have gathered the summer fruits as the great gleanings of the vintage. There is no cluster to eat. My soul desired the first ripe fruit. The good man has perished out of the earth, and there is none upright among them. They all lie in wait for blood. They hunt every man his brother with a net. That they may do evil with both hands earnestly. The prince asketh, and the judge asketh for a reward, and the great man, he uttereth his mischievous desire. So they wrap it up. The best of them is as the briar. The most upright is sharper than a thorn hedge. The day of thy watchman and thy visitation cometh. Now shall be their perplexity. Trust ye not in a friend, put ye not confidence in a guide. Keep the doors of thy mouth from her that lieth in thy bosom. For the son dishonoreth the father, the daughter riseth up against her mother, the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. A man's enemies are the men of his own house. Therefore, I will look unto the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. Rejoice not against me, O mine enemy. When I fall, I shall arise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me. I will bear the indignation of the Lord because I've sinned against him until he plead my cause and execute judgment for me. He will bring me forth to the light and I shall behold his righteousness. Then she that is mine enemy shall see it and shame shall cover her which said unto me, where is the Lord thy God? Mine eyes shall behold her. Now shall she be trodden down as the mire of the streets. In the day that thy walls are to be built, in that day shall the decree be far removed. In that day also he shall come even to thee from Assyria and from the fortified cities and from the fortress even to the river and from sea to sea and from mountain to mountain. Notwithstanding, the land shall be desolate because of them that dwell therein for the fruit of their doings. So therefore, I will look unto the Lord. That's our title. Lord, I pray you'd use your word now to teach us. Thank you for it. Thank you for the privilege of walking through it together. And I pray the Holy Spirit would use it now to grow us. We are grateful and we give you this service. May you be pleased and glorified in it. In Christ's name, amen. So through Micah, we're reminded there in verse 2 that there is none upright among men. This is a common theme throughout Scripture, isn't it? Old Testament, there's none righteous. Psalm 53, it says that the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Corrupt are they and have done abominable iniquity. There is none that doeth good. We get to the New Testament, Romans chapter 3, verse 10. There's none righteous, no, not one. 3:23, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It's a common theme of Scripture that everyone is a sinner. And Micah here is lamenting the sin of Israel, their wickedness, shown in many different ways here in these first six verses. And then I appreciate what he says in verse 7, which would be the kind of beginning of our passage tonight, is he says, therefore, because there's so much wickedness around me, because wherever I look, the people are turning their backs on God's ways, God's commandments, what am I going to do about it? And we can ask the same question. We are surrounded by wickedness, are we not? And the world just keeps getting worse and worse and worse. We see so much sin, so much rejection of God and of God's ways. We, like Micah, need to just step back and say, therefore, I will look unto the Lord. I'm not going to look at the world. I'm not going to look at the wickedness around me. I'm going to keep my eyes focused on God, on the one who loves me, on the one who died for me, on the one who rose again for me. So we need to keep our eyes focused. And of course, a big part of that is prayer and the Word. That is one of the ways that we keep our eyes on the Lord. Oftentimes, if we're not careful, the world makes us busy and the flesh distracts us and the world distracts us, and we aren't praying like we used to, and we aren't in God's Word like we used to, and we're not looking unto the Lord. We're instead just going on our own steam in our own wisdom. God says not to do that. So what is the answer? Just like Micah, I'm going to get my eyes focused back on God. Jesus said, he that putteth his hand to the plow and looketh back is not fit for the kingdom of God. We need to be looking forward. Amen. So look at Psalm 55, 17. Good verse for all of us. David here in the midst of his sin and his repentance because of his sin. Look what he says here in Psalm 55, 17. Everyone should memorize this verse. Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. Isn't that good? Now, we should be praying all the time, right? Pray without ceasing. We should be speaking to the Lord. We should be in communication with God in our spirit all day long. But David says specifically, I'm going to set aside at least 3 times a day to be with God, to keep my eyes on the Lord, to talk to my best friend, my Heavenly Father. We get to the New Testament, Philippians 4, 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, that your requests be made known unto God. In other words, just keep giving it to God. He's got big shoulders. Amen. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, the Bible says in Psalm 55, 22. And then 1 Peter 5, 7. Do we need to turn there? Does everybody have it memorized, I hope? Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Notice all this casting that's supposed to be going on. Cast thy burden upon the Lord. Casting all your care upon him. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. In other words, I will look. I will keep my eyes focused on the Lord. And I do that by speaking to him and spending time with him. And of course, spending time in his word. David said, oh, how love I thy law. It is my meditation all the day, he said in Psalm 97:10. So he says, first of all, what am I going to do about all this wickedness around me? I'm going to look under the Lord. I'm going to keep my eyes focused on the Lord. But then he goes on to say in verse 7, and I will wait. Isn't that good? A lot of us might find ourselves in the midst of major trials. What's the answer? Wait. A lot of us might be praying about something really big. Wait. You don't know God's plan. You don't know God's perfect will. God does. And he tells us all throughout the scriptures to wait, to wait. Look at Psalm 27:14, and we'll see one example of that. But all through the scriptures, as we see ourselves surrounded by wickedness, as we see ourselves in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, as we're told in Philippians 2, the solution never changes, does it? I'm going to keep my eyes on the Lord. I'm going to stay on my knees. I'm going to stay in his word. And I will wait. I'll wait. Psalm 27:14. Look what it says. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Most of us know Isaiah 40:31. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Those promises are made to those who are willing to wait. God says, wait. For who? The God of my salvation. It's beautiful. All of us are going to have trials. All of us are going to be surrounded with wickedness. That's not going to go away. It's just going to get worse because the devil's the God of this world. But all of us can keep our eyes on the Lord. And all of us can wait upon the Lord. Verse 7, he goes on. My God will hear me. Isn't that good? How many times do we pray, but we really don't expect an answer? How many times do we get surprised when God does answer? You know, it reminds me of when Peter was in prison and the whole church gathered together there in the book of Acts to pray for Peter. Oh, Lord, poor Peter, our leader, he's in prison. Oh, Lord, please deliver Peter. And God hears their prayers and goes and delivers Peter. And Peter goes to where they're all praying and he knocks on the door. And a woman comes to the door and she peeks through the little window on the door. And, oh, it's Peter. And she runs back to the prayer meeting and they're all on their knees praying for Peter. She says, Peter's at the door. And they say, oh, don't be silly. That's his ghost. There's no way it's Peter. He's in prison. Haven't we been praying that God will deliver him? But isn't that how we are a lot of times? We pray and we pray and we pray. But really deep inside we're like, well, God's not going to answer this. But he is a prayer answering God. Amen. Look at Psalm 65 verse 2. And I like what he says. My God will hear me. I'm not just praying to pray. I'm not just praying because I am supposed to pray. I'm praying because I expect God is going to answer my prayers. God wants us to have that attitude. As we set aside that time to get away from this old wicked world, and as we get alone with God and as we beg Him, expect Him to answer. Psalm 65, verse 2. O thou that hearest prayer, unto thee shall all flesh come. Our God is a prayer-hearing God and a prayer-answering God. Look at 1 John chapter 5, verse 14 and 15, and we'll see this. And I just like the simplicity of Micah's solution to being surrounded by wickedness. It's right back to the basics, isn't it? Get alone with God. Get our eyes back on the Lord. Focused on Him through prayer and the Word. Wait on Him. And believe that He will hear our prayers. 1 John 5, look at verse 14. This is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. I hope you have that confidence. Verse 15. And if we know that He hear us, do you know that He hears you? Whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. You see that word know? We know God's going to answer. He may not answer the way we expect Him to answer, but we know He will answer. And that's what Micah's saying. Things are really bad right now. Israel's a mess. Everybody's just running away from God. Nobody wants to know what God's word says. They don't want to obey His commandments. Things are horrible. What am I going to do? I'm going to get my eyes back on the Lord. I am going to wait on Him. And I'm going to believe that He hears me. It's good. Verse 8, Micah 7. Rejoice not against me, O mine enemy, when I fall. I shall arise. Now, if you've never sinned, this isn't for you. But as a Christian, if you've ever made a mistake or if you've ever stumbled, what does God say? Go to Psalm 37:23. God says, we will stumble. My friend, you can never fall out of salvation. We talked about this in Potatadu today. We had an extensive Bible study on eternal security, that we're safe and secure in Jesus Christ. You might stumble, but you will never fall and back into hell. Can't happen. Psalm 37:23, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and He delighteth in His way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with His hand. Micah here says, I'm going to keep my eyes on the Lord. I'm going to wait on the Lord. I'm going to believe He hears my prayers. But also, I'm going to acknowledge that He's going to hold me. He's going to protect me, that when I do stumble, He's going to lift me back up. Isn't that good? Back to verse 8. When I sit in darkness, the Lord shall be a light unto me. How many of us need to get back to following God's light? Jesus is the light of the world, yes. But what does the Bible say about the Bible? Psalm 119:105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. God is our light. Psalm 27:1, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? God is our light. God shows us the way. And yet how many Christians just doing their own thing? And we need to be following God's light. And here's someone who doesn't even have the New Testament, and he's writing these beautiful things. I'm just going to keep my eyes on God. I'm just going to keep waiting on the Lord. I'm going to believe God answers prayer. I'm going to believe he's going to hold me up, that if I stumble, he's going to pick me back up as I confess, and he's going to light the way. This is good, because we are in the midst of a very dark world right now. But we have the light of the world living inside of us. Praise the Lord. Willing to show us the way. Verse 9, I will bear the indignation of the Lord because I have sinned against him until he plead my cause and execute judgment for me. I like this one. He's saying that as one of God's own, I acknowledge that sometimes I deserve some chastisement. And that's true of all of us, isn't it? Sometimes we ask for it. You know, Solomon wrote in Proverbs 3, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord. And then Hebrews chapter 12, turn there. God says that if you're a child of God, there will be a time in your life when you will face some chastisement. Matter of fact, he says if you're never, ever chastised, you weren't a child of God in the first place. Isn't that interesting? Verse 8, if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. God said that in his word. Verse 6, for whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. And so Micah's willing to admit, I might have to face some indignation he probably already had. And we have to be willing to admit the same. That God is a loving father and God loves his children. And part of being a good father is chastising our children when they need it. And God will do that for us. So Micah says, I'm surrounded by wickedness. What am I going to do? I'm just going to get my eyes back on the Lord. Get back on my knees. Get back in his word. I'm going to wait on God. I'm going to believe that he answers prayer. I'm going to believe that he'll hold me up when I stumble. I'm going to believe that he will be the light. If I ask him, he'll show me the way. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. That I will bear the indignation when I need it. And then verse 9, he will bring me forth to the light and I will behold his righteousness. Part of keeping our eyes on the Lord is keeping our eyes on our hope. Amen. That we're just pilgrims and strangers, we're told in Hebrews. That this is not our home anymore. We're to keep our eyes on eternity. Which the Bible tells us that, right? Colossians chapter 3. Set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. So we're to be focusing on them. Go to 1 John chapter 3 and we'll see this. But even here Micah says, I'm going to keep my eyes also, not only on the Lord here on earth, and stay in prayer and stay in his word and trust him and wait on him. But I'm also going to keep my eyes on what's ahead, which is to be forever with the Lord. Notice 1 John chapter 3, verse 2. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him. Isn't that good? That's something that we know. That we're going to be like him. We know this. And this should help keep us going to know that what we have here is just temporary. We're going to be with him forever. And Micah said, I've got to keep my eyes. I will behold him in righteousness. So, verse 10. Then she that is mine enemy shall see it, and shame shall cover her, which said unto me, where is the Lord thy God? Mine eyes shall behold her, now she shall be trodden down as the mire of the streets. Does the world not ask this same question? You know, Psalm 115:2. Wherefore should the heathen say, where is now their God? Are we not surrounded by people asking that question? Where is their God? Where is their God? Well, you know what? We need to show them where our God is, amen, by acting like Jesus. You know, Paul said, I don't want to live a sinful life lest I should hinder the gospel. And we can hinder the gospel through ruining our testimony, through wrong behavior. God says we're to walk as children of light. 1 Peter 3:15 says, be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is in you. So be ready to answer the question when they ask it, where is thy God? We can say, he lives in me. He is real. He's revealed himself in his word. God is real. He died for you. He loves you. He offers you eternal life. So to be ready to answer that question. So what an encouragement for us. We're surrounded by sin. We're surrounded by darkness. And let me tell you, the Bible says, until Jesus comes, it's only going to get worse. Evil men and seducers, the Bible says, shall wax worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Nowhere in the Bible are we told that it's going to get better. Now, once Jesus comes back to the earth, it will get much better. But until he comes, it's only going to get worse. Man's not going to bring about a great awakening and improve the earth. It's just going to get worse. So what can we do about it? Listen, we can't fix it. And we're not asked to fix it. We're asked to serve Christ, to tell others so they can be rescued from the consequences of their sin, and to keep our eyes on the Lord, to wait on him, to trust that he answers and hears our prayers, to trust that he'll hold us up and protect us, and to trust that he can help us through this dark time because he is the light and he lives in us. And to know that God is there and that one day we will see him. With our own eyes, we will behold his face. David said the same in Psalm 17:15. He said, I will behold thy face in righteousness. Job said the same thing. I know that my Redeemer liveth, and that he shall stand at the latter day upon this earth. And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God. We will see God one day. And you know, all of this, that's the answer. That's how we keep going in the midst of this dark world. Not by becoming part of the world, not by living like the world, but by keeping our eyes on God. Therefore, I will look. He says, yes, it's a mess in the first six verses. What am I going to do about it? I'm going to look unto the Lord. I'm going to keep my eyes on the Lord. Let's pray. Thank you, Lord, for reminding us tonight how